Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're living from revelation to revelation. And I shared with you last night on that the put on Jesus. This month, I had a dream, and it turned into a vision because I woke up partway through the dream. I saw the earth and this huge magnet around the earth. And it was just pulling everything up all around the earth. It was just pulling everything up. And I said, "Explain it to me, Lord." And he said, "It is my spirit. And I am pulling everything up. The just and the unjust, the evil, the good, I'm pulling on everyone." And gave me the scripture, of course. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And he gave me the scripture, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the whole world." And he said, "I am now pulling. And I am now lifting up, so everything, not everything will go up as a balloon, a hot air balloon. If it's tethered, it can't go up, even though the pressure's there pulling it up. But he said, I am applying the pressure, and I am pulling up. If they'll just." They don't have to make any effort to go up. Just cut the tether. Or throw out every weight and every sin that so easily besets. And he said, "I will pull up." And I began to see all of the churches starting to come alive. And, of course, the prophecy, the Valley of Dry Bones. I saw the bones. He said, "Wayne, prophesy to the bones, prophesy to the churches," and he said it will all start coming together. And so I began then to prophesy, naming every denomination and every church, and because he said, "My church, my body will be one, and I'm going to bring it together, and I'm going to put the sinew upon it, the flesh upon it," and he said, "Now prophesy, breath, new life into my church." Wow. And so I began to prophesy new breath into the body of Christ. And I saw all of these begin to be coming alive. It didn't matter the denomination. All of the churches started to rise up, and they became one together.
Wow.
And then, as I was sharing with Gary, that God was showing me, as he was pulling all these people up, he showed me all the Muslim people in America. And he said, "I am raising up evangelists out of the Muslim people." And he said, I'm raising," he said, "they aren't, some of them aren't even born again yet. But," he said, "they will be my evangelists." And he said, "some of them won't live more than a week before they're killed. Some 2 weeks, some 3 weeks, or some 4 weeks." But he said, they will spread my gospel, and nothing will stop them. He who's been forgiven much loves much. And so they're going to have this tremendous love for Jesus Christ. And so then he started giving me scriptures. Now, I won't be able to give you all the scriptures tonight because I have 4.5 pages of scripture.
We got a good copy machine somewhere?
Yes,
can you email it to me?
I can.
All right. I'm going to listen then instead of taking a lot of notes.
Yeah, because I can email it to you.
Okay.
And you'll have it. Okay.
Do you need a piece of paper?
And so,
we need four pieces of paper. That's all right.
Linda, do you all have paper?
I think we're just going to get paper to us.
My email address is on there.
I think I have it.
Do you? Okay.
I think Phil gave it to me. Dog did it. Okay, so Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's this upward call. So many Christians have been looking down, and God's saying, look up. Look up. Redemption draws near. Look up. So, press, which means effort, press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So God is calling everything up. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. In order for us to really catch the vision, we have to ourselves be lifted up. And what God has actually been doing in my life and in many other people's lives, you know, we've spent so many years in sin management. It's like that's all Christianity was about. And now God has just lifted and lifted and lifted, and it's to the point now where there's absolutely nothing in me that Satan can pull me around with. There's nothing that attracts me. And it wasn't because I decided to do that. It's because the love that he gave me was worth more than all of the stuff.
Yes.
And so I just kept, the more I experienced his love, the more I threw the stuff away. Mm-hmm. You know, the word worship comes from the word worth or value. Okay? So, what do we value? Well, you can tell what you value by what you spend your time or your money or your thoughts on. Okay? And so, he's saying, now that your value has changed. And what he has done is lift me to a place where I found such abundant life that I wonder how I ever lived there. Mm-hmm. You know. But the beautiful thing about living here is that you can love all people. You can love sinners. You can love, you know, your enemies. You can love everyone because of this better position. Okay, so that's why we have to set our minds on things above. John 12:32, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men. All men. All men. All men. Doesn't matter the religion. Yeah. Doesn't matter whether they're rich or poor. He said, I am drawing all men. So we're going to be amazed at who lets go and lets God. Mm-hmm. What was so neat, though, and this is actually happening in my life, is that with such an attraction pulling up, that it seems like all I'm having to do is just give people a little pat, a little boost, and up they go. You know, have you ever seen balloons in a room, you know, and you just kind of pass them to one another just by tapping them? That's the way it looked. You know, and that's the way it's happening. I'm just giving them a little tap, and they're whoop, you know. And so we're in for a wonderful time.
Yes, we are.
To watch the body of Christ interact together, you know. I was sharing this with you last month, but see, we're going to experience the love of God like we have never, ever experienced the love of God before. And we're going to begin to love one another. Churches are going to begin to love one another. They're going to be in covenant relationship with each other. If the Church of Christ gets in trouble, they're going to have to take on the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Catholics and all, because we're coming at them.
Mm-hmm.
If it's their enemy, they're our enemy, and they're Jesus' enemy, and we're going after them.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to destroy all the work the devil has done, and we're going to set people free. Okay. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. So there's going to be this great death and this great resurrection. Crucified with Christ, resurrected with Christ, that's the power pulling up. This resurrection power around the world is just pulling, pulling, pulling. You know, I could see this so clear in the vision, you know, and it was so neat because it made things so easy. John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So he was the first to be lifted up, but because of his position, see, and those of you that got my newsletter on the open door, you know, it's so wonderful to live, you know, with the open heaven, where you can, anytime you can just travel, you know. I get to go and I get to see the glory and be in the throne room. I was talking to my sister in California, who goes to a Baptist church out there, and I was telling her, you know, the vision I had about the rods and the lights, that God had opened the heavens, and I could see it, and everything was like one rod was love, and I could just reach out, I could actually touch it. It was tangible. Love was tangible. Faith was tangible. Hope was tangible. Peace was tangible. Brilliant, brilliant lights, colors that we don't even have here. You know, and it was just a wonderful thing. And so anyway, I was sharing it with my sister in California, and she said, I was just talking with my friend, and we were talking, and because she said, I was praying, and all of a sudden, I was in this beautiful, beautiful room. And so she's talking with her friend, and the friend said, I've been in that same room yesterday. and she said, well, did it look like? And they started describing. One would say something and say, the other would say, yes. You know, the other would say something, yes. You know, and they were in the same throne room in prayer. You know, they were, you know, it's wonderful. He's the door. So he was lifted up, he went through, made a way, came back through, now he's lifting us up through, and will come back through and take us through. Now, he's the door. But as long as he's there, the door's going to be open. All the promises in Christ are yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yay and amen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not when are you going to open the door. He is the door, and he is the open door. But he's not just open door for certain people. He loves evil people. He's kind to the unthankful and the evil, the scripture says. See, he's loving, and all of a sudden we can see them like he sees them. We see evil people, not according to their evil, but we begin to see them according to their destiny, as to what God has called them to be. See, and rather than shunning them or being fearful of them, we embrace them. And God embraces them, and next thing we know, they're born again and preaching the gospel. Okay. John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Hallelujah. And so the Father is, we're in the last days, and God says, I'm drawing them. Look at them, I'm drawing them. See? James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's what we have to deal with.
Yeah.
See, we were just talking before we kind of got started here that these young people are so zealous, and the thing that's making them zealous is they're not double-minded. They're not thinking in terms of, I need to get married, raise a family, get a job. It's like, how do we please Jesus? Mm-hmm. Well, the wonderful thing is that he has wives and husbands and children and all of that for them, but that's not where their thought is, see? And they're not double-minded about it. It's like, God will take care of all that.
Yes.
God will provide my wife, and God will provide my children, and whatever, But so often we get double-minded, and that causes us then to be fearful. But God doesn't want you to walk in fear. He wants you to walk in love. And love cancels fear. Okay? Hebrews 10:39. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. There's stuff that's trying to pull you down.
Yes.
There's something else trying to pull you up. You're going to have to decide which way you want to go. It's too hard to hang in limbo. And because of the move of the Spirit, it's going to be nearly impossible. You're either going to have to say, I'm cutting back, or I'm going forward. You're going to have to make a decision. It's not going to be neutral ground anymore.
No, you have to taste.
Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And of course, Paul said, casting out every weight and every sin that does so easily beset you. It's time for cleansing. And Phil was mentioning, you were helped by someone, that the fact is the Holy Spirit is actually showing us contamination. Mm-hmm. I've told you for years, we're all deceived. I don't know if you know that or not yet, but we are all deceived, but we don't know where we're deceived. If we knew we were deceived, where we're deceived, we wouldn't be deceived, because that's the very nature of deception. But God is bringing us into all truth. And he's setting us free every day, every time you open your Bible. I was telling a guy the other day, I can't hardly read my Bible anymore. I can't get past one line, because, it's just so alive, and it's given me faith and conviction all at the same time. I think if I was in a cave with only one verse of scripture, I'd be all right. And it just explodes, And so I pick up my Bible, and it's just like everything in me just comes alive because of it. But God is causing us now to see our hindrances. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't need to be pointing out each other's faults. The Holy Spirit is bringing into sanctification and holiness. You know, that was almost a bad word. You know, we don't want to hear that holiness stuff. You know, because they think it's about how you comb your hair or how you clothes you wear or whatever. But the Scripture says, "Be holy, for I am holy."
Yes.
And God is calling His people to holiness. He's sanctifying. Of course, they're both the same Greek word. Sanctification is the process, and holiness is where you're going. It's the destination. Mm-hmm. So you're being sanctified into holiness. And by the way, I just got a 10 pages of scripture on sanctification that, you know, just like, it just starts coming and I didn't get it for other people. I got it for me, because I want to enter into full sanctification. Yeah. And I want to enter into holiness. The reason why is because that's where I found this great life. Not the loss of life, the gain of life. All of a sudden, everything has begun to work together for good in this place of holiness, in this position. And things that people have prayed about and longed for and longed to see in the church and in the body of Christ, as He brings us into holiness, it's all there. He can't bring it down into the contamination, but He can reach into the contamination and pull us out into it. The magnet is pulling, drawing us into sanctification, drawing us into holiness, into purity. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Then I'll tell sinners of your ways. You see? And so He freeing us up then to be witnesses by cleansing us. Hebrews 10:38. Now, the just shall live by faith, but anyone who draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And so there's going to be the drawing up, and we'll have to make a decision about that. Are we going to reject it, or are we going to accept it? See? Gravity is a marvelous thing. You know, I know how magnets work, because played with them as kids and with the metal and all that. You don't want to get the two ends the wrong way, because they push apart. But when everything is right, they come together. You know, and of course, with gravity, it always amazes me that flesh is subject to gravity, not metal. I mean, metal is, but how do you keep the flesh on the earth? You know. And how's God going to pull us up? How's God going to pull all men, draw all men to Himself? You know, it's pretty obvious. It's not going to be man-made. It's going to be a miracle of God. People being born from above, attracted and pulled. And so, just that caution. Don't draw back. I'm noticing some people, as soon as they see the power of God, and it's sad. It's like some churches, it's like we want a little bit of God, but God, don't come in too strong, or people will leave. You know, we'll lose all of our people, and our income will be down. You know, We don't need to worry about that. See? What we need to do is allow God just to keep lifting up, lifting up. Let the light be brighter, not dimmer.
That's right.
Yeah. I was in a church one time and in a Sunday school class, and the Sunday school teacher proudly proclaimed, a class packed out with people. And they said, the reason why we have more people than the other church is because we're not against sin.
Mm. Sad.
And so people love to come here because we're not against sin. Mm.
No.
Well, if you turn the light way, way down, and people come, and they, oh, we love to come to church here with it. You know, we love the social life and all of that. But then at the same time, you have to keep the light out. You can't let someone come in that has light. Because if you let someone in with the light, you know, what will happen is many people will be born again. But others will head out the door. You know, I remember this one pastor. I forget how many thousand he had in his church. But he said, you know, Father, he said, I've made up my mind that I'm just going to do what you tell me to do. You know, you have Sunday school and you have all these different things to keep church going, you know, which can go on even if God's on vacation. You know, they don't need God to have church.
No.
You know. And so he said, you know, Father, he said, I want you to be right here and you tell me how to do church. If you don't tell me to do it, I won't do it. If you tell me to do it, I'll do it. And he went from thousands down to 200 people. He just waved goodbye as they left. When he got down to the 200, the power of God came in.
Yeah, sure.
And then he had thousands upon thousands. So don't draw back. No. It's not a time to draw back. Romans 6:11. Likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Reckon yourself to be dead. See, the nice thing about being dead is fear is gone. See, once you're dead, fear is gone. The fear of death is the great, the greatest fear of man. And once the fear of death is gone, that's the reason why Paul said of Jesus, after his resurrection and ascension, it said, and death has no more dominion over him. See, death no longer has dominion. As long as fear can pull you here and pull you there, you know, well, you better not do that, better not go there, better not say that, you know. But once you're dead, it don't matter. Yeah. Romans 6:13, and do not present your members as instruments. Now watch this verse closely. But do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You see the positive aspect of it. Heard a lot of sermons on the negative aspect of that. Look at the positive, but give yourself as an instrument. Give yourself as an instrument of righteousness to God. We've been reading Bill Johnson, well, actually it's Devin Kedman,
yeah.
Book on the treasure hunt. I don't know if you've read any of those or not. But anyway, they Bethel Church out in California, Redding, California, And what they do is they pray for 3 minutes, and they ask God to tell them about the people that they want them to witness to. And so they and they have 3 minutes to write down, and they're not allowed more than that. And so they write down, and if God gives them specific directions as to where to go, like to go to Walmart or go downtown or wherever to go, well, then they go. They go in teams of three, and there'll be maybe 5 or 6 different teams going out. And they go, and they just watch for that person. And when they see that person, they, because they have this all written out and folded over. And so they go up to the person, and they say, we think God may have highlighted you, wanting to do a favor for you. If this is you, and then they unfold the paper and they look at it, but well, yeah, that's me. Of course, they God tells them what clothes they'll be wearing, what color their hair is, what shoes, you know. And if they have an illness, especially if it's something that's not noticeable, you know, that really catches their attention, you know. And of course, these are unbelieving people. You know, this is evangelism. See, and so and then they say, If you wouldn't mind, we would like to pray for you, you know. And so they pray for him, and God instantly heals him, or does whatever it is that, you know, he's already told him that he's going to do. And and it just clicks. It just goes and goes and goes. And sometimes they miss it, you know. Anyway, I was sharing this with the people at the church over across the Victory Church in Greenville, Illinois. So I was talking with this young couple, David and Shana, and she said, I read the book, but it's kind of, you know, I really wasn't sure, so I just put the book aside, and I went back and I got it. So they were going to the park for the weekend, and Shana said, you know, it wouldn't hurt to try. So she said, why don't we just pray? And just, you know, see what happens. And so they started to pray. Well, David said he wasn't even a second into the prayer, and he started getting all this stuff, you know, this certain person, this certain clothes, with another person, described both of them. And it was at a certain place in a parking lot. And so they drove there, and there they were, you know. And so, you know, David just, you know, went up. And, of course, it's learning how to do that, gaining confidence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't that God wanted him, you know, to pursue it any more than just to go up to that person and say, you know what, Jesus really loves you. And then they went and got in the car. And you know, it was the whole family. They have 4 children under 7 mm-hmm. years of age. So quite a riot. But anyway, they're having fun, you know. God can tell you, and love, you've experienced that anyway. You see things and you know things before you ever get there, you know. And I've preached whole sermons before I ever got to the church. You know. In fact, I was sharing with them that that Sunday, that on Saturday night, the Lord gave me 2 sermons. And the second sermon, I saw myself ministering to these people, you know. And so, after the Sunday morning service, the people come and tell me, we've been having vacation Bible school all week. And so they come and they say, The commencement with 2 of us churches, our little mission plus a Christian church, had gone together to have vacation Bible school. Well, the commencement was over at the Christian church. My only problem was I was preaching at our church. And my wife and kids went to commencement. That meant my entire church was left empty. Hang on, they all went over there. And so I just stood outside of the and it wasn't a church building. It was actually a basement of a grocery store. You know? And so I'm standing out there, and this boy and dog come by, and I'm thinking, well, I could preach to them, I guess. But that wasn't what I saw. I saw a full congregation. And I looked off to the north. It was, of course, dirt roads and gravel roads. And I saw this dust coming. One car pulled in, next car pulled in, next car pulled in. And pretty soon the parking lot was full. And they said, are you having church tonight? And I said, most definitely. And, of course, my musicians, everybody was gone, so all I had was my guitar and led them in some songs. And I asked them, I said, are any of you farmers? Because the message God gave me was farming by faith. You know, the Bible is full of scriptures. And they said, we're all farmers. You know, I didn't know one of them. And halfway through my message, one of the older gentlemen in the back collapsed. One of the nurses checked him and said, he's dead. Had a heart attack and he died. So I stopped and went back and prayed for him. And he went, what happened? I think you had a heart attack. Yeah. But he was fine. Didn't have any more heart problems. And of course, we'd had so many healed of heart problems that 60-year-old people end up with 5-year-old hearts. You know. But anyway, seeing God will be giving you visions of people. Be attentive. Write it down. You know, just like you know. It's just like when you're reading your Bible. Always read your Bible with pencil and paper. Yeah, because stuff comes and stuff goes. Yeah. I had another vision a couple of nights later, and the fact is this was Friday night, and it was the strangest thing because I saw myself out ministering, and I had this word, but it wasn't a Bible word. At best, I could tell it wasn't a Hebrew word or a Greek word. It was just a word, you know. But everywhere I went, I spoke that word, and people were delivered and healed. And so I was trying to hold on to the word. I was going to get up and write it down because by then I was awake. I thought, I can remember this, you know. And by the next morning, I couldn't remember anything. And so I said, well, Lord, you know, you could bring that word back to me. Oh, by the way, it looked like a blade, a knife blade. This word looked like a knife blade. And so I said, Lord, will you give me that word back? And he said, it wasn't the word. He said, I will fill in the word at the time you need it. It'll always be a different word, but it'll be the living word. You speak it, when I speak it to you, you speak it to them, and it will accomplish my purpose. He said, I just gave that to you as an illustration, but it wasn't that word. It wasn't magic. It's the living word. Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Okay. Yes. Hallelujah. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15:21. Since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. So in Adam, all die. So in Jesus, all are made alive. The potential of everyone on earth being raised up is there. Because he's drawn all men to himself. See? We need to see that. We don't need to pick and choose. No. He's drawing all men. All men. Everyone you look at tonight, tomorrow, the next day, everyone that you look at, He's drawing them. He's drawing them. You know, and all they need is just a little bump, a little boost. You know, and the main thing they need is your witness. Remember, I've taught you for years now. It's always in order to witness. It's not always in order to evangelize. You don't evangelize until the seed starts to take root. They'll let you know when that seed starts to take root, but it is always in order to give your witness. And the testimony of the Lord is the spirit of prophecy. You tell them what happened to you, that'll become the prophecy to them that it can happen to them. Are we having fun yet? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Okay. Romans 8, 10 through 11. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. God is going to quicken. You know, we think mortal body. We think of our mortal body. Also think of the body of Christ. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is going to quicken the mortal body. The body of Christ. He's going to lift it up. He's going to bring it alive. I was reading one of the prophets, and I was sharing with Nelson and Janie about it. I should have marked that. So many of the prophets are actually ruining our nation by prophesying against it. They're using Old Testament prophecy to prophesy against America, and they're prophesying against the church. And it's our job to reverse the polarity of those prophecies. Right. It's our job to begin to prophesy to the body of Christ,
yes,
to the bones, to the sinew, to the breath. We need to begin to prophesy to all of the churches, name them, and prophesy to them that they come alive. Arise, shine, for your light has come.
Yeah.
We need to begin to prophesy over America.
Amen.
Begin to prophesy prosperity to the evil and to the good. We need to begin to prophesy so that everyone benefits.
What was it, a month, 2 months ago? God had me walk.